After the sermon, we'll sing from Psalter number 73, verses 1, 5, and 6. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, I came across a picture of a little boy. And in that picture, that little boy was clinging with the tips of his fingers to the top of a wall, and he had a bag of apples hanging over one of his shoulders. And at the bottom of the wall on the side that the little boy was hanging from was a great big bulldog just waiting to take a chunk out of him. And on the other side of the wall was the owner of the orchard, who was obviously looking for the boy because he had obviously stolen the apples from his orchard. And so that little boy, he couldn't go down the wall for fear of that great big bulldog. But he couldn't go over the other side of the wall either because of the owner of the orchard who was obviously looking for him. And so the caption at the bottom of the picture, it simply read, "In a fix." And that little boy then, he'd gotten himself into a fix because of his sin. But as we know, it's not just little boys who can get themselves into a fix because of their sin. We can all find ourselves in that kind of situation because of the bad choices we've made. And we can feel trapped with no way out, just like that little boy obviously did. Well, here in the chapter that we just read, we have a similar and yet at the same time a very different picture brought before us. It's a picture of an entire nation that we could say was in a fix. But it wasn't because of their sins. It wasn't because of their choices even. It was God's doing. You see, they were trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. But it was God himself who had brought them to that place in their experience where, as we say, they were between a rock and a hard place. You see, they found themselves in a situation where it appeared there was no way out. There was no place for them to turn. There was no means of escape. And so they couldn't see a way forward in that moment. And many times in life, we can feel just like that. Not because necessarily we have acted foolishly or done anything that we shouldn't have done. We might even have tried to do all of the right things, and yet we can still find ourselves in a seemingly hopeless situation. Well, this morning we're going to look at the record we have here of the predicament the nation of Israel found themselves in. And we're going to try to learn from it how best to handle these kinds of situations when perhaps we don't know where to turn, or how we should respond when we don't know what to do next, and when it seems perhaps like we are in an impossible situation, humanly speaking, kind of situation where everything looks dark. We're ready, perhaps, to despair and give up all hope. And friend, if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want you to know that with God there's always hope. You see, with God, there's always a way out. You see, man's extremity is simply God's opportunity to show himself strong on our behalf and to bring glory and honor to himself. Well, as we turn to look at this episode in the history of the people of Israel and what we can learn from it then, I want you to notice the three responses to the trouble they were in, which are recorded for us here in verses 10 to 20 of Exodus chapter 14. And we'll see firstly then the natural response. Then secondly, we'll consider the faithful response. And then lastly, the divine response. Well, firstly then, let us consider the natural response. And we find that in verses 10 to 12. But before we get to that, I want you to be thinking about the situation the Israelites find themselves in here. want you to be asking yourself the question, how would I have responded had I have been there with them? Now, as you will remember, the nation of Israel, this people, they had been miraculously delivered at this point by God from slavery in Egypt. They were now setting out on their way to the promised land, and their prospects looked good. They were upbeat about the future. And yet, as we said earlier, they now find themselves trapped at the edge of the Red Sea, not because they were lost, not because they had failed to follow God's directions. In fact, on the contrary, we're told in verses 1 to 2 of this chapter that they were where they were because God had actually commanded them to encamp there. And so as we read later in verse 10, as they were encamped here before Pi-hahiroth, they look up only to see in the distance the Egyptians marching after them. They see that Pharaoh and all of the might of Egypt, that great superpower of the time, they see Pharaoh and his army bearing down upon them. And so, as we're told, they became very afraid. Literally, it says they were terrified. And they began to panic then. They began to complain against Moses, their divinely appointed leader. And we might even say they had every reason to be afraid, naturally speaking. I mean, likely this is how every one of us would have reacted in this situation as well. I mean, think about it. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the Egyptian army behind them. They had mountains on either side of them. And so from a human standpoint then, yes, their situation, it seems completely hopeless. It appears they're about to be annihilated. And so they begin to complain that they should have stayed in Egypt. And you see, isn't that exactly how it often is with all of us when we find ourselves in trouble, when we meet with seemingly insurmountable obstacles in life, even though perhaps, just like the Israelites, we may have seen God's mighty deliverance in the past. We have His promise even of deliverance in the future. But what do we find ourselves doing? Almost instinctively, we focus, don't we, on what we see, the obstacles, the difficulties, how things appear to us. And you see, we judge by sight then. And before you know it, we're right where the Israelites were. We're complaining and murmuring against God and against others. And so when we ought to be walking by faith and not by sight, we end up walking by sight and not by faith. And you see, the result is that so often, tragically, we misinterpret what God is doing in our lives at the time. We become discouraged and fearful, and our thinking, it becomes clouded then. You see, when we're in that place, we start to think the worst. We start seeing graves, as someone has said, when there are none, just like the Israelites here. And we forget that God knows exactly what He is doing, even if it doesn't make any sense to us at the time. And we give way so often, don't we, then, to an evil heart of unbelief, and the peace that we ought to enjoy ruling in our hearts, it's gone. And you see, there's a tension then between what we claim to believe on the one hand and our actual experience on the other, and how slow we are to learn then that we must walk by faith and not by sight when we find ourselves in circumstances that we don't understand, circumstances that are beyond our control even. And friends, all of us either have or will soon enough discover that we can't go far in life without meeting with things which are outside of our control, which will often perplex us. And these things that can often lead us to question whether God really cares for us, whether He is really in control of our lives. And yet we need to remember that God is always working in and through all things, just as he was here. And in all of these things, his purpose is to teach us that though his ways of working in providence are often mysterious, yet he wants us to learn through them to trust him more deeply. Just like a parent who must take a little child they love that they have so often held and supported on their knee. There comes a time when they must put that little child down on the ground so that it can learn to walk on its own. And yet, isn't it true that the parent is never far away? They're ready to catch their little son or daughter if they should fall. We see, so God must teach his children to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, very often when we begin the Christian life, God's presence seems very real to us. We can often sense his presence with us. And yet a time of crisis will often come when it seems perhaps that God is absent, when we appear to be on our own. And we can be tempted then to think perhaps that life would have been easier if we'd have just stayed put, if we'd never begun to follow Christ and set out for the promised land. But you see, God is wanting us to teach us that our response to the providence of God, it is crucial to our peace and our comfort in this life and to our stability in our walk with God. And the reality is there are only really two ways we can respond to God's involvement in our lives. We're either going to judge by sight, or we are going to judge by faith. And here in this chapter, we have examples of both of these responses. And so while we've looked at the natural response when trouble comes, I want to look secondly at the faithful response when trouble comes. And you can find that in verses 13 to 14, where we see that in spite of the response of the majority here, Moses remained confident that God would be faithful to his word, that he would bring deliverance for the people. And so Moses then, he provides a great example for all of us of what true faith looks like under pressure. Remember, Moses was seeing everything that the others were seeing here. Moses wasn't blind. I mean, just like them, he saw the mountains on either side. He saw the Red Sea in front of them. He wasn't blind to the approach of Pharaoh and his army behind them either. He saw all of these things. And yet by faith he also saw what everyone else failed to see, that God would show himself faithful and open up a way before them. And you see, it was that then that enabled him to be more aware of what really was then than what appeared to be. And just like Moses, this is one of the most important spiritual lessons that we all need to learn when we're confronted with the challenges of life and our need for a deeper trust in God, that appearance and reality very seldom are the same thing. And outwardly, yes, it seemed that Moses of the and the people of Israel were doomed. It would appear to them there was no way out. And yet the reality was just the opposite. Reminds me, boys and girls, of the young girl. She'd never been on a train before. And so as she was traveling for the first time on a train ride through the country, happened in the course of the journey that the train had to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. And that young girl, as she looked out the window of the train, she could see the water of the river appearing up ahead in the distance. And it created doubts and fears in her mind. You see, she didn't understand how the train would be able to safely cross over the upcoming river. But of course, as the train got closer to the river, a bridge appeared The train safely passed over it to the other side of the river. And two or three times that experience was repeated until finally the young girl leaned back in her seat. With a sigh of relief and confidence, she said, "Somebody has put bridges for us all the way." And you see, that is how life can be sometimes. We can fear so many things, so many troubles, they look dark from our perspective. And so many difficulties in our lives, they can seem insurmountable as they loom in the horizon before us. But you see, as we advance, we find there is a way through them. You see, God has built bridges for us all the way through life, so to speak. And you see, that is what Moses believed God would do here. He believed that just as God had brought himself and the people of Israel out of Egypt, he would make a way for them here to get out of this predicament they found themselves in. And you see, while everyone else around them then was in a state of panic and dismay, Moses was confident that God was still in control of all things. And so there was something more real to him than his outward circumstances that he could lay hold of by faith. And that's why we find him there, here then telling the people of Israel in verses 13 and 14, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And he was reminding the people then there was hope. And so in spite of outward appearances, they were not to fear because God was on their side. God hadn't abandoned them. He was still with them. And so they needed to control their fear then by refocusing their faith on their God. In other words, they needed to walk by faith and not by sight to understand that their worst fears, they wouldn't be realized, for they were where they were in obedience to God's command. God was the one who had providentially ordered their circumstances. And so they could therefore confidently rest in the expectation that the Lord would act on their behalf. And friends, do these words not stand as a reminder to all of us here also, in that we too can rest in God in difficult and trying circumstances? Not because of the absence of danger or difficulties, but because of a God in whom we can trust, whose grace is always sufficient for us, who is in full control of every situation we can ever find ourselves in. That's why, as Matthew Henry notes, it is our duty and interest when we cannot get out of our troubles, yet to get above our fears, so that they may only serve to quicken our prayers and endeavors, but may not prevail to silence our faith and our hope. You see, friends, fear is what grips us when we fail to see God through our circumstances. But faith is what quickens us when we see our circumstances, yes, but we see them through God. And you see, faith is what will enable us to recognize then that even though we're not in control of the situation, whatever it may be, nevertheless, God is still in control of it. He is still directing us in the way that he wants us to go. And you see, so often God purposely brings us into trying circumstances so that you and I would learn this very lesson, that when everything seems to be unraveling all around us, or even within us perhaps, we always have a place to which we can go. You see, there's still another direction to look, and that is up to him. And friends, let us learn then, as we make our way through life, not to lean on an arm of flesh, but to look to God, to come boldly to the throne of grace, as we're exhorted to do in Hebrews chapter 4, so that we might find grace to help in every time of need. But you see, it is there that we will see past the Egyptians in our own lives. We'll see past every obstacle that the enemy of our souls would seek to raise up before us to cause us to stumble, to get us to fall, or to drag our heels. You see, it's there we will see the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of God. And friends, it's then that we will see the salvation of the Lord. For it's then that we'll see that behind every wall is the man of God's right hand, our Savior, our Redeemer, our all. And we'll be able to say with the psalmist then, in verse 3 of Psalm 56, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you, and I will be still in the knowledge that my God reigns, that he is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so just as Moses instructed the people here then, we must remember that the battle, it belongs to the Lord. And friends, you and I, we don't have the means or the strength in ourselves to overcome our difficulties in life any more than the Israelites had here. But you see, God has laid help upon one who is mighty, mighty to save and uphold and deliver us. And we're to look to Jesus Christ then, amid all of the uncertainties of life. We're to learn to draw all that we need from him for life and for godliness. And friends, don't go through life leaning upon an arm of flesh then, when you find yourself backed into a corner. Don't look to your own puny resources in life either, or seek to take matters into your own hands. Don't run ahead of God either, but learn to take refuge in him and to wait upon him by faith, to take refuge in his word, in his promises, in prayer. And learn then when despair would seek to cast you down, when fear would tell you need to retreat, when impatience would tell you must do something now, learn there is a time to stand still, to watch and see what God will do. Remember, every problem we face in life, it is but an opportunity to see God at work, if we will but let him. And that's what we see then in the last place, the divine response when trouble comes. You see, coming to the Red Sea was every much a bit of a part of God's plan as crossing it was. Because you see, God wanted the Israelites to learn a valuable lesson, the lesson we all need to badly learn, as we've been saying, to walk by faith and not by sight, not to judge by appearances, but to put our unreserved trust in God at all times and to depend entirely upon him, that he does have everything in control and that he is more real than anything that we can ever see with the physical eye. And you see, that's what the people of Israel needed to grasp, the fact that everything that was unfolding here before their eyes, they needed to understand. None of it was catching God off guard. It wasn't taking God by surprise. It was simply part of his all-encompassing plan to overrule all things for the good of his people and for his own glory. And so we see here then that God now takes control of the situation He comes at the appointed time. He gives Moses clear instructions as to what is to be done. You see, having brought them into their predicament, he now says to Moses in verses 15 and 16, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And you see, contrary to what they thought then, the hour of their salvation, it had now come. The deliverance that God had purposed all along, it was now at hand. And so the Israelites are now told to go forward without delay in obedience to God's command. You see, they were now to learn that there comes a time when it is necessary to act as well as to wait and pray. There's a time to step out in faith, to demonstrate confidence in the promises of God, and to go forward trusting in Him, to open up the way before us as we commit ourselves into His hands by faith. And while it's wrong, therefore, to act without deliberation and prayer, it is also wrong to be deliberating when we ought to be acting. And see, that's what the Israelites needed to learn here too. That is what we need to learn sometimes also. Yes, there can be no progress in the Christian life without prayer. But you see, there comes a time in our experience when God calls us to action. And some people are naturally hasty. They're ready to decide on the right course of action at once. And so they're in danger of neglecting prayer and simply acting impulsively on the spur of the moment. They're in danger of running ahead of God. Others, however, are in danger of procrastinating forever, to think about things, to deliberate endlessly, to doubt and to question, never to go forward, never to act when they are called by God to do so. And no doubt you're thinking, well, how do I know when to pray and when to act? Well, that's a subject for a whole different sermon. I can't give you the answer now. But you see, we're to remember that God always opens doors. He also closes doors in our experience. And so, yes, we need to pray. But we also need to remain open and alert to what He is actually doing in our lives. And so we're to ask Him to show us the way ahead, but also to make us ready and willing to go forward when He calls us to do so. Well, friends, the Israelites were commanded here to go forward by faith, and so they did. We all know the glorious result. We have it recorded in verses 21 and following of this chapter, how God opened up the way before them, for He parted the waters of the Red Sea. He created a road through it, a pathway that pointed them to His love and His power, where they could only see an obstacle. And so they obtained the victory over their enemies. For the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, as we read in verse 30. He did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. And you see, they learned that day then that salvation belongs to the Lord alone. God is the one who delivers His people. And is that not what we all need to learn above all else when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place in times of difficulty and distress? We need to remember God hasn't promised an easy life for any one of us. God hasn't promised you and I a life free from difficulty and danger. But He has promised to be with His people in all that they meet with in this life, to bring them through every trial, every difficulty, every disappointment. You see, what God brings His people to, He will bring them through. Reminds me, boys and girls, of Gladys Aylward. I'm sure you've heard of her. She was a missionary to China more than 50 years ago. was he was forced to flee when the Japanese invaded Yangcheng. But she couldn't leave her work behind. And so with only one assistant, she led more than 100 orphan children over the mountains toward free China. But during her harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangcheng, she grappled with despair as never before. And after passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. But a little 13-year-old girl in the group, sensing her fear, reminded her of the much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, which Gladys Aylward had read to them often. And Gladys, when she heard this, she cried out in desperation. She said to the little girl, "But I'm not Moses." But the young girl simply smiled and said, "Of course you aren't, but Jehovah is still God." Well, boys and girls, Gladys and the orphans, they made it safely to free China. You see, the Lord was with them. He was still God. And friends, He is still God. And He is still with His people. And so no matter how inadequate you and I may feel at times, that is what we must never forget. And so we can trust in Him then that He has a purpose for good in all of the experiences we pass through. Well, friends, I don't know where you may be at in your experience this morning. I don't know what difficulties perhaps you may well be experiencing. But remember that however great your difficulty may appear in your own eyes, never forget God is greater still. And as someone has said, then God's hand that holds the ocean depths can hold our small affairs. His hand that guides the universe can carry all our cares. And friends, let us all seek to walk by faith and not by sight then. Let us seek, as the hymn writer says, to trust Him when dark doubts assail us. To trust Him when our strength is small. To trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him through cloud or sunshine, and all thy cares upon Him cast, till the storms of life are over and the trusting days are past.